gridiron.
Shut your mouth, podcasting.
Yards, touchdowns.
Shut your mouth, podcasting. First round draft pick. Believe we got stats, kid. Quarterback sacking. 100-yard dashing. So tap in for the action.
Welcome to the Sim Podcast. I'm your co-host, Eric, and I'm always joined by my co-host, Ron. What up, Ron?
Going on?
You know what we do? This is the official, unofficial Season 5 start. I know we're kind of in between, but it's draft week, so we got to do this. Ron, how are you feeling? We haven't done any recording in about 2 months. How are you feeling?
It's been a long off season. Lots of news on the Steelers side. Lots of nonsense every day, so I'm kind of excited to get this past us at this point.
You don't like the off season? You don't like the drama that it brings?
Or
that's because your team has tons of drama?
Yeah,
and we'll talk about that.
I just call it fake news. You know, I think it's people are so bored to put nonsense out there. You know, from these fake anonymous sources. And at the end of the day, I don't think anyone knows what the Steelers are doing. No one knows what the Patriots are doing. We just got to wait and see, just like everybody else.
Wait a minute. I sent you what the odds are right now. We're both the same. No. Don't say who cares. Because at the beginning of the year, you were like, oh, you might win 4 games, maybe 5. Come to find out, Las Vegas has us at 7.5, same as with the Steelers. So this is not nonsense.
Right now, how often has Vegas been right about the Steelers? Right?
Well, they're the house.
They're 4, and they, you know, they always, for whatever reason, shortchange, you know, the Steelers. So I don't care about what the preseason odds were. What were the odds for the Commanders last year? So, you know.
No. You can't compare what the Commanders did to the Steelers. That's orange and apples. That's very different. Commanders, nobody gave them a chance.
These rosters haven't even been like finalized as yet. Hard to make predictions when we don't know lots of different things. So, you know, as far as the Patriots goes, you know, to go from when you have 4 wins last year to make a big leap at like 8 is, I think, a bit too much. I don't care what you've added to the roster. I need to see the final roster, see the games, you know, before I can make that leap.
Ron, that's why you're going to miss the train. If you don't hop up now, you're going to miss the train. You got to get on the train now. Get on it now. So
I was on the hype train for the Bears last year, and what happened?
Well, that's because you were a prisoner of the moment and you read way too much things in August.
Right.
So
I'm not that mistake now. Here
you learn your lesson.
Yeah, I learned my lesson.
So today's show, we're going to have a little bit of NFL news, but we're going to mainly focus on the draft. We're going to talk about each of our teams. Ron, I didn't have a lot in the news other than what we just talked about, the Steelers being handcuffed by Rodgers. But let's talk about it. We're in April, right? We're a week away from the draft. Would you say that the Steelers have the quarterback ready or not?
A week away from the draft, a week and a half away from practice, really, right? Off-season, optional, like, workout. So, you know, the Steelers have backed themselves into a corner. A lot of people are blaming Rodgers. I don't blame Rodgers. I think he has every right to sit back and make a decision on what he wants to do with his future, especially if you believe that he's been dealing with personal issues. Like he said, I think this is all on Mike Tomlin and Smith, all on Rooney. The last couple of years, they've made a lot of promises in the offseason. One of them this year being that they were bringing back Russell Wilson or Fields, and they have neither of them. So, you know, this is all on Pittsburgh and, you know, the Steelers organization. at the same time, I think you can throw Mickey Mouse out there at quarterback for Pittsburgh and they'll win, find a way to win 9 games. That's just, you know, how good of a coach Tomlin is.
And that's good enough? Is that good enough?
It's not good enough. But I've been saying that for how many years have we not won a playoff game? So
9. You know, this will be 9 years.
It's not good enough. It hasn't been good enough. But my opinion doesn't really matter. I don't think the fans' opinion doesn't matter. You know, until Rooney decides to understand and realize like what Steelers tradition needs to be and has been, and that's kind of, you know, that's been gone, right? That's been missing for a while. Until he's ready, Rooney, to get back to that, none of what we're talking about today or anyone's talking about today really matters. So, but, you know, as far as the quarterback, again, Mason Rudolph, we're going to win 9 games with him. Doesn't matter what you put out there. That's just what we do. I think Tomlin's comfortable and really good at, you know, winning close games and keeping games relatively close. And I think he can do that during the regular season, despite what our roster might look like.
Okay, so it sounds like you already conceded to the fact that they're probably going to win 9 wins. They're not going to win the division. And it might or might not make the playoffs, but it's going to be one and done.
Yes, absolutely. I think anything more than that is gravy. The only thing that's important, I think, for Pittsburgh is to, if not find the quarterback of their future, have the roster ready so that they can make that draft next season, if that's what they plan on doing, if they don't address it this year. You know, just have the team ready and prepare so that either this year or in 2026, you find that quarterback of the future. If you can't do that, you go 4 or 5 years and you haven't figured that out. And I know it's not easy to find, you know, your franchise guy, but, you know, that needs to be the focus. I think right now, just let's get the team, you know, the rest of the team set, and then hopefully we can either find that guy this year or next year.
I see where you're coming from as far as like, hey, my expectations for this year coming up, I already have them. So, in your eyes, what's going to get you excited about 2025? Because it seems like you're just going to go through the process. You're just going to go through the steps and, you know, you're already thinking of 2026, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I look to the rest of the team. There's a lot of young guys, especially on the offensive line. I like to see them gel. That will get me excited for sure for, you know, this year and next year, seeing those guys develop and gel. Same on the defense. There's some young guys there too. We need to like draft. We'll talk about the draft a little bit, but there's some areas where there's age and it's starting to show. So we have to address that. I think that in itself will give me some excitement. But unless like something crazy happens in this draft and we, I don't know, pull a quarterback who all of a sudden gets developed, which I don't think Tomlin and Steelers have really ever developed a quarterback. Unless something miraculously happens, there's not much to really get too excited about. I don't think at this point.
Well, on the flip side of that, I am through the roof in confidence, Ron. I already told you back in January, as soon as Vrabel, you automatically 4 wins right there. And let's just dive right into it on the draft. Oh, on the players that the Patriots have acquired, that is going to, it really makes me giddy. It really, I won't go as far as say that they might finish in second place. I'm going to go as far as saying that.
Wow.
So, because I'm not excited about the Jets. I'm not excited about the Dolphins. So, let's see right now. Who are the new arrivals for the Patriots? So, we have Stephon Diggs. We have Milton Williams. And I'm just mentioning the starters who I believe are going to start. Carlton Davis at DB. We have Robert Spillane, who's, I wrote here, he's a starter. He's a defensive maniac. This guy's going to be just all over the field.
Former Steeler, former Raider.
And this is why you're saying, like, these people need to be developed. They need to grow into good players. And he's, I would think that Spillane falls under that category. Harold Landry, I know he's up there in age, but boy, you're talking about a defense that was last in sacks. Landry's going to add a ton of depth when it comes to the edge. And then Bradbury, who is really a center replacement for David Andrews. And then, you know, you have other players that they acquired. I'm not going to go through them because I don't think they're going to start. It's just a lot of it is just for backup and depth. And then, you know, there's some people that left that I'm kind of like sad to see them go because they were basically part of the old guard. You know, I'm talking about Devon Godshaw. I'm talking about Jonathan Jones. I'm talking about Dedrick Weiss. You know, Joe Milton wasn't really part of the old guard, but he needed to develop somewhere else, right? Because he knew that he was going to have May in front of him, so he might as well just go. And, you know, was he traded for peanuts? Very debatable, but again, he won the game. The one game last year that they should have lost, he won it. Now, it wasn't his fault. It was Mayo. I would say 90% Mayo, 10% Milton, but he still won that game that we could have had a number one pick. But I am excited for this team, for this identity that he's bringing, Mike Vrabel. I'm, you know, his coaching staff, Josh McDaniels coming back. We got that guy from Detroit as the defensive coordinator. I'm just excited, Ron. I'm not even looking into 2026. I'm looking into next year. That's how excited I am. Mm-hmm. And we have a chance to test this theory when the Steelers play the Patriots in Gillette Stadium. So that's a big if. It better not be a December or November game. That's a big if. We won't know until next month, but I'm just through the roof, Ron. I'm through the roof. How do you feel, a Steelers fan, talking about 2026, and you see the Patriots doing their thing? Like, where are you right now?
Yeah, so I'm not as impressed as you are.
Shocker.
I'll give my honest opinion, right? So it's easy to feel confident when you think you have your franchise quarterback. Let's start there. So I'm an important year for your quarterback. You know, heading into year two and three, that gives you confidence by itself. The Patriots were one of those teams this offseason that had a whole bunch of money that they had to spend, right? So they went out and got a bunch of players with experience, but honestly, guys that have, I don't want to say are at the back end of their career, but guys that other teams probably would not have offered a lot of money to. Stephon Diggs comes to mind. The Patriots need a receiver. He's a guy who's coming off an injury. Obviously, he's done some great things in his career, but it's the back end of his career. So who knows what you're going to get from him. Didn't really do much last year at all when he was playing. Harold Landry, I loved him coming out of Boston College, but he's been in the air for a long time. Was an okay player at Tennessee, but had way more potential. And I think the results were a little bit disappointing, to be honest with you. And I was just expecting a lot more in the NFL. So I don't know, you know, how much he's going to give the Patriots this year. Spillane, as I mentioned, a former Steeler, someone who is just a thumper. You know, he's a real good thumper. I think he can move fairly well, but not like super athletic. I think he'll be a decent starter, but something that you'll probably want to upgrade in a year or two. And then like a lot of these other guys like Max Collins, you need another receiver. I think actually he's a little bit underrated and underutilized throughout his career in the NFL. He can do a lot, you know, for the Patriots. But, you know, I thought it was okay. I thought you had to spend money. I think because, you know, when teams have to spend money, what usually happens is that you overpay for players. I think most times in free agency, there's a lot of players, like your top players, that get overpaid. And you get paid based on what, you know, how you performed. But, you know, when you're on your back end of your career, those guys, I don't think necessarily warrant the money that they get. So that's
Ron, but this, you're missing a point here. It's not my money. It's not your money.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Who cares?
What I'm saying is it's good that they're spending money and willing to make some changes. But these guys, I wouldn't pay too much attention to what they've done in the past, because these guys are going in there to build a culture and nothing more. I don't think these guys will be on the roster in 2 or 3 years. A lot of the guys that you mentioned, 2 or 3 years from now, they're handing off to somebody else. They're culture builders. Again, you needed to spend money, had no choice to do that. They got to go out and draft these next 2 years, some young guys that can sit back and listen and learn from these older vets. And then I think it'll take off. I do think it's a, you know, obviously Vrabel makes a huge difference. You know, him alone will, you know, I feel confident that he'll get the Patriots in the right direction. I just don't anticipate that first year significant jump that I think a lot of people are expecting, because again, these are a lot of, like, it's hard to put a lot of pieces together from different places and expect that to make a change. So you got to have, like, you got to do the groundwork, you know, build from within. And that takes time.
Yes. And then, you know what? These are cultural villagers, and these are people that maybe in 2 years are probably not going to be on the team, but you got to develop that mentality first and then pass it on to the next person. And I'm applauding what Mike Vrabel is doing right now. I'm applauding what, you know, RKK is doing right now. They're just building the culture, building the roots, and hopefully, you know, I don't think any of these people are going to be captains. Not off the bat, I don't think so, unless, you know, they blow people out of the water when it comes to OTAs. But this is not what we're talking about. We're just talking about making this team better. We're not talking about winning Super Bowls now. We're not talking about playoff contenders. We're just talking about making this team better. And these guys, you know, even though they're in the back end of their careers, they're going to make this team better. And that's why you want. And that's why, listen, spend all the money that you can. It's not your money. It's not Mike Vrabel's money. RKK, get that craft money in there. Get that paper money in there. So having said that, Ron, I'm just going to quickly go to the draft picks. What the Patriots need, at least what I think they need. And I've been saying since day one, protect May at all costs. So in the number four, I have them either taking offensive line, either Campbell or Mambu from Missouri, or just trading down, because like you said, they need to, like, bring in as many young players as possible and build this team. I have them getting either a wide receiver and edge, possibly that guy Walker from Georgia. He's a pretty good defensive lineman. I don't know if he'll be there in the second round. Third round, I have them taking another offensive tackle, either from Minnesota or grabbing a running back. I know a lot of people don't like Stevenson because he had butterfingers last year, and there was a lot of fumbles. But I believe Vrabel can fix that, and he can at least finish out the contract. They got another one. They got another pick on the third round. I got a Rattler from Georgia. Fourth round, wide receiver, Williams from Washington. I was reading about Williams. He actually has a pretty good... He had a pretty good Senior Bowl, so I like him. I have another edge, round 5, from Louisville or UCLA, Aladejo. I'm sure I'm killing his last name. Another 5th rounder, I got a another offensive line that's a theme here. From Alabama, Benson or Cox from Kentucky. Two that were really good at the Senior Bowl. The round seven, they got two picks. I got a tight end from Syracuse, Gaston, because let's be honest, Austin Hooper is getting up there. The other tight end is getting up there. I know that they're going to come back next season, but they're kind of getting old. And then they lost Lai to the Titans, so I got them pick him a kicker out of Miami, Borales, who was pretty good. So I'm sure that this is just a crapshoot. I'm sure that it all depends on how the draft order goes, but there's two elite players on the draft, and they're more than likely going to be gone by the time the Pats draft in the fourth. So Carter and Hunter are probably gone by then.
Yeah, that last win threw the Patriots, because you really wanted to be in a position where you can get Travis Hunter if you can, or the edge from Penn State, but that probably won't happen. Nine picks, that's a lot of picks in a okay draft. Where this draft is really strong at is really two positions, defensive line and running back. There's a lot of really good defensive line guys, a lot of like running backs, like 20 something running backs who are probably worthy of being drafted. So those are two areas I think like every team needs to be able to get somebody out of this draft. Receivers, we talked about Patriots for a long time needing a number one receiver. I don't think that's going to be Diggs. So you probably want to address that early, because it's not a deep receiver draft this year. So there's some guys who in the back end that might be okay, but I don't see a lot of like number ones in this draft when it comes to receivers. So that's something that you don't address with your first pick, which I don't think they will unless they trade back. It's hard to see them getting somebody in like a for sure thing in like the mid rounds. I think you have to, definitely address that, day one or day two, for sure. And same with the running back. There's a lot of good running backs here, like I mentioned, but you probably want, I don't think Stevenson is someone that they can look to, I think he's a good second guy. I don't think he's anyone that has like the explosiveness that you need, can make like huge plays. So, I would certainly try to find somebody in this draft early that can do that too. And I do agree with you about protecting May. That's important. I think they've done that. They've done a lot of that homework in the offseason already. But yeah, you can go ahead and draft a couple more linemen in this draft. But again, not a strong offensive line group, at least not tackle group. So it's going to be tough to find guys. But it's a crapshoot, like you said. It sucks being in that fourth position. You probably want to be second or third at the very least. Travis Hunter is on the board for any reason. You take that player. You take him without even second guessing yourself. You just run to the podium. But, there's no chance of him being there whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, I've maybe a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, I already gave up any chance of Carter or Hunter being there at our fourth pick. So I'm just saying,
go for Genty then. Like, if you're not going to trade back, go for Genty. He's probably
what I hear, the Raiders want Genty. So maybe if they are willing to give up a draft pick for him, to move in the fourth. I think they're in the sixth place right now. So it's Patriots, Jacksonville, and then Las Vegas. So maybe that's a chance, but I don't know. I mean, the sexy pick would be Genty, but who's going to block for him? They don't have a left tackle.
Yeah.
They have a center. They have a guard. They have, they don't have a left tackle. You need to get a left tackle. You need to protect May. So we'll see. And then just before we started recording, Ron, I saw that the Philadelphia Eagles are willing to trade AJ Brown for the fourth pick. if Carter is still available.
I don't doubt that they're willing to trade Brown because time's running out on the Eagles in terms of spending. Like, you can only kick the can down the road for a certain amount of time, and eventually you gotta, you know, you're gonna have to pay guys. So it doesn't surprise me that they'd like to move him. They're not gonna get a first round pick for him at all, much less a fourth pick. That's just not gonna happen. If I'm the Patriots, there's no way I'm giving up as a Patriots fan the fourth overall pick for AJ Brown. Second round pick, third round pick, yeah, we can have that conversation. But,
I think it depends. I think it depends because AJ Brown is a bona fide number one. You stick him with Stephon Diggs, and you got yourself a pretty decent offense. I mean, I don't know how they're willing, how much draft capital he's worth, but AJ Brown, Mike Vrabel, they got a history together. Anything is possible. This is gaining traction. I don't know how valid it is, but I kind of like it. I saw that and I was like, oh, that's, I can see that, but why would you give up Carter? Because now you have a real edge rusher. You have not Landry. You have Landry can take a back seat if Carter is there.
Right.
So
yeah,
we're gonna see how it shapes out on Thursday.
Yeah.
But Ron, let's talk about.
There's gonna be a lot of. I don't think there's gonna be a lot of trades necessarily in the first round. Not of draft picks, but I do think there's some teams with players that might want to like move some of those guys, and Eagles are one of them with AJ Brown that, at some point he's going to get moved.
Yeah, he's going to get moved. I don't think he's going to get another extension. All right, Ron, let's talk about the Steelers because you still don't have a quarterback. I mean, so talk about this. Like what's the Steelers' new personnel? What's the draft plan?
Yeah, so completely new quarterback room once again. We lost Wilson, Fields, and Kyle Allen all to the new teams. So Mason Rudolph is back, which I think is good for the Steelers. It's definitely a love-hate relationship that Steelers have with him. Skylar Thompson, someone else that they brought in, probably going to be their third quarterback, maybe fourth, depending on how this offseason goes. We got some decent guys this offseason. Kenneth Gainwell, I think is a really good number three back. It'd be interesting to see what happens with, I think he'll make the team for sure. I think the Steelers will go into the draft looking for another running back. So if they add another running back, it'll be interesting to see what happens with between Gainwell and Cordell Patterson. Patterson had a horrible year last year. Not a good pickup, but he's still on the team. Everyone expected him to be cut. He's still there. The big acquisition, obviously, is DK Metcalf. Not only did we trade for him, two pick, which we don't have in this draft, but we also extended him to a five-year deal. So don't know what that means for Pickens. He's coming up on his final year. His contract, not a run-heavy team, not a team that is going to pass a lot. So I hope to have both of them for the entire season. Lots of questions about whether Pickens gets traded, as I talked about during the draft, but hopefully he stays. We picked up a couple interior defensive line guys, not difference makers, though. I don't foresee those guys necessarily sticking to the 52, but definitely an area that we need to address in the draft is the D-line for sure. And then Allen likes his old cornerbacks, so picked up Darius Slay, who played really well. He's 34 years old.
$10 million is a lot of money.
Yeah, give him a lot of money. $10 million, he's going to be playing. But he's 34. He's up there in age. We've done the same thing in the past with guys like Peterson, with Cam Sutton, who, is no longer on the team. Tomlin likes, for whatever reason, a position that you really need young guys and speed. He likes veteran leadership back there, so I'm not surprised with picking up Darius Slay. I think he'll be good, but he's probably one-year deal. He may not be on the team next year. You're going to have to get younger in the secondary for sure. So as far as guys we lost, some big losses this year. I talked about quarterbacks already, but from the running back room, we lost Najee Harris. That's a huge loss. I thought they should have extended him and signed him, but it's not surprising given how deep the running back class is this year. It sort of does make sense for them to go a different direction and look to, you know, for a younger player there. But lost three guys, I think, to the Chargers, Najee being one of them, Dante Jackson, and then it was Mike Williams, I believe, the receiver, went back to the Chargers. So lost Dante Jackson. I think you know, he was on a one-year deal, probably had a fringe good season, I think, playing opposite of Joey Porter. A little bit surprised they didn't bring him back, but, you know, he decided to go elsewhere. Dan Moore Jr. is another big loss, our left tackle. They're expecting Broderick Jones to move to his right position at the left tackle, so it'll be a really important year for Broderick Jones. And then Landon Robertson, another disappointing loss, I think. He's the thumper in the linebacker, inside linebacker room for us last year. No longer on the team. A little bit surprised that they didn't bring him back. And Okojobi, you know, didn't play well last year. We expected a lot more from him last season and just didn't get it. So not surprised to see him leave as well. And then as far as, you know, the draft, you know, goes, the three big areas we need is defensive tackle. I talked a lot about that. You know, Steelers defensive line played well most of the year last year until that last game when Henry and Lamar went off on us. But, you know, we're getting old, you know, so we need to bring some younger guys in there. And I think that, you know, the line needs to be addressed for sure. Quarterback, as you know, I don't know if they address it early this year. I don't think they will. I think they'll wait till the mid late rounds and kind of address it next year. And then the running back room, losing Najee, they need a solid number 1A or 1B, you know, with Jalen Warren being there. You know, he was hurt a little bit last year. I don't think he can take the brunt of the carries, and you know, I think it needs to be a running back by committee team. You know, I don't think he can be your number one and only number one. So they're going to pick up a running back. I've shown a lot of interest in the running back, you know, positions this draft. So as far as my prediction goes, I think they'll go to D-line the first pick, which is at pick 21. This is if they can't trade back and recover a number two pick. They only have six picks in the draft. So I have them selecting Walter Nolan out of Ole Miss. They probably prefer to have a different defensive lineman, but I, you know, I don't know if the Oregon kid's going to make it. So, and then Kenneth Grant is probably another option there. But you know, the first thing they probably need to do is trade down just to recover a second pick if they can. But if they can't do that, they'll probably look to D line. I have them picking DJ Giddens, the running back out of Kansas State, in the third round. If he drops to the third round, they can also probably look to pick somebody else in, you know, with their second pick and address their running back later on. Will Howard, I haven't taken a flyer on him in round four. They seem to be interested in him. He's an Ohio State guy, you know. Quarterback class not great, but if you're going to take a, you know, flyer on someone, you know, I think it makes sense to, you know, be fits the bill with someone who's played in, like, against really good competition. I wouldn't mind if Howard is someone that can come in and maybe develop into a starter or maybe a second, you know, your second quarterback down the road. So, Jalen Reed is, you know, what I have them taking in round five. They've, you know, looked at the safety position a lot this offseason as well. They have some guys, as I mentioned, in the secondary getting older. Mika Fitzpatrick, you talk to half the fan base, they're not happy with his performance over the last couple of years. He's 29, I believe, turns 30 when the season starts next year. So probably want to get younger, as I mentioned. So I got them taking a safety there. Offensive tackle, or offensive line, period. I think they need to make a pick somewhere because they have a lot of young guys, which is good. They're going to need time to gel. But with youth, you know, there's still questions about whether or not those guys can be your franchise guys, right? So Roderick Jones, I mentioned, is a poor year for him. Didn't have a good year last year. He took a step back. They're moving him to left tackle. Behind that, they have Calvin Anderson, who they brought back. But, you know, they could be back next year addressing the offensive line again. So it would be good for them to pick up somebody that potentially can develop. And Colin Pierce from Rutgers, a guy who's like 6'8", 330. So has the size that you need. Very raw, though. So he needs a lot of time developing into become a starter. And then with the last pick, I have him double dipping at defensive line. Again, I think it's something that they need to address. Two guys they brought in during free agency aren't, you know, they got 1 year deals. There's no guarantee they make the team. Why not take another flyer at defensive line again, just to make sure you address it, address that position and really find your starters.
So you think that they got six picks right now. So
six
you think,
picks.
You think that they're going to try and get some more picks?
Yeah. So the options are trade back, right? Pick 21, trade back if you can and recover a second round player. That would be ideal. It'll be tough to do that though. So you're probably looking at maybe getting another third round player if you can trade back from pick 21. The other options, like I mentioned, that's been out there, is them trading George Pickens. And if you do trade George Pickens during the draft, you're most likely going to get a second round pick for him. I don't think that'll be a stretch to get a second round pick for him. So if you can do that, and I don't want them to do that. I'm a big George Pickens fan. I like to see him and Metcalf play at least one season together. But that's one option too. That's, out there for sure, because he's had his issues, not with his performance on the field, just his antics on the field, maturity issues. So lots of noise the last 2 years about that. So I can see them moving on from Pickens and trading him for a second round pick as well.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're talking about Patriots, who had a lot of money to spend, and then the Steelers, who are basically doing this based on a budget, right? They have a lot of financial constraints, and they're like, hey, we can't just start spending money dilly-dally because we feel like it. I feel like they're more strategic.
Yeah, they have money. That's the crazy thing, is they have money to spend. They set aside money to get a quarterback, right? And to pay a quarterback, and
yeah, because Rodgers wouldn't come cheap.
Yeah, well, they have the money for him. That's what I mean. And if they don't, if he decides to retire, they have money, extra money to spend next year, right? So I don't think it's a financial issue. It's just
that's the drama that I'm talking about, Ron. It's like you call it nonsense, but I feel like the Steelers can't make a move until Rodgers decides whether or not he's going to retire. That to me is like holding the Steelers hostage. It's like saying, yes, you might have all this money that you can use or would have been able to use in free agency, but now it's delegated towards whether or not Rodgers comes back, and if he comes back. So, and that's why, just move on. Just move on. Just work on your team. Like, he's not going to be there.
What were the options, I guess? So Russell Wilson, right? I think, what did he get? I want to say it was like $11 million.
It was a one-year deal, though, right?
One-year deal. Justin Fields, I think he got some more money, but,
I think it's 2 years for Justin Fields.
Yeah. We benched Justin Fields, right? Tomlin benched him, right? Tomlin liked Fields, but they benched him. So, I'm not surprised that Fields, took a chance in New York instead. So if you didn't get any one of those two players, what else is out there? Are you gonna go for Kirk Cousins and take on that ridiculous contract that for a guy who's that old and played horribly last year?
So you don't like any of the QBs on this draft? You don't like Sanders? You don't like Dart?
Dart? I don't think any of these quarterbacks are a for sure thing. Even Cam Ward at the number one pick, who I like a lot, he has some flaws too. And, you know, I think it's a weak QB class compared to obviously last year. You had like, what, six quarterbacks go in the first round. I don't, you know, you obviously won't see that this year. You'll have some guys that are forced, you know, into the second round. You know, Sanders, I think, is a lot of good, a lot of bad, though, with Sanders. You know, I don't personally think he's a first, he has a first round talent. I think he's more of a second or third round guy. I've seen a lot of games with Dart. Lots of potential, but he's made a lot of mistakes, too. There's a lot of room for him to grow. He's also a mid round guy to me, as well as Howard. The Chuff guy, I've seen him play against Boston College. You know, played from Louisville. He threw like three or four interceptions against BC. But great arm talent, right? So, you know, a lot of these guys are just projects that could potentially, you know, be good players down the road. But there are no for sure things, I think, in this draft, you know, from the quarterback. So that's just the type of year. This next year is supposed to be a lot stronger. So, see.
All right. Well, I don't know if I mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast, but this is episode 121, Ron. Mm-hmm. 121 episodes. Amazing. So,
yeah.
Next week after the draft, we'll have episode 122. We'll discuss how the draft went for each of our teams, and then we'll have like a break, and then we'll actually start the real season, even though this is kind of the real season, but we're talking about the rosters and all that stuff. We're talking about the schedule will be out by then. So in August, look for that. That'll be episode 123. Well, Ron, what do you got to say about this draft on Thursday? What do you got to say?
Man, I'm excited. Looking to get this over with, looking to start the season. You know, just excited that football's, you know, around the corner, if you will. Yeah, we still got a couple months to go, but we're talking about football still. Excited to get it started.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's see what happens. So with that said, I say peace.
Peace.
All right, that's it, guys. That's the end of the show. Thanks so much for all your support and listening today. If you got any questions, comments, feedback, feel free to email us at simsportsmedia@gmail.com. That's SYMSPORTSMEDIA@gmail.com. Peace.